You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to comedian Orr Mosh. My favorite part of her interview was her talking about her involvement with the Israeli Defense Forces, the Israeli Army. I also wanted to apologize because some of my mics or the cords have been kind of crapping out, so it goes in and out, and I'm going to go upgrade as soon as possible, go to Sam Ash or Guitar Center there. But thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, first time on the podcast, comedian Orr Mosh.
Yay!
Can I check it out? This is amazing.
Thanks.
Where did you get this?
It's my fart gun.
This is amazing.
I got it for my birthday.
Oh,
my
nice.
Sister got it for me. She knows me so well.
So you were highly recommended by Jesse.
Jesse Johnson. Shout out to Jesse. Mm-hmm. I love you so much. So funny.
Did you meet her? Did you meet her in the comedy community in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I think, where did we meet? I met her through Joe. You know Joe Berg?
No.
He's a drummer.
Joel, I know Joel Jimenez.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the homie. Yeah, he's been on here too.
Yeah, so I hang out with, back at the pandemic days, we hung out at the basement of the comedy store.
The basement? Oh,
yeah,
where they podcast.
They were doing tiny sets and whatnot, mm-hmm. and we kind of met and fucked around.
Yeah.
I met Jesse there, and she's the best. She's so fucking funny. Dude.
She's really talented, too, like the way she incorporates her trumpet and everything.
Does a trumpet.
Yeah. And what's your story? So you mentioned you lived in Tel Aviv at one time?
Yeah. I lived in Tel Aviv not just once, all my life.
Yeah.
Grew up, born and raised in Tel Aviv.
Uh-huh.
Did the army, did everything.
So are you, you're, it's mandatory to enroll. Cause,
yeah,
my neighbors, Ravid, the two brothers were my neighbors. And one time I was out there looking at the cars on the street and they go, Stib, in Israel, we take grenade, throw, no problem. No, does that sound about right?
You know what? I was surprised because when I first arrived in America, I was a bit surprised. Like one day, I remember I saw like hella police cars and ambulances. They flew a fucking helicopter to it landed in the middle of the street to get something
like
very
an LA chopper,
like a chopper for like some traffic shit or some bullshit like that. And I was like, one day I was in Israel. And I remember, I never forget it. I was smoking a cigarette on the balcony, and they had like a suspicious bag bomb threat. and I'm smoking.
Was that common though? That's like a
yeah.
A weekly thing?
Israel is like a big airport. You can, just can't leave your bags unattended anywhere.
Right, right.
Anywhere. So I'm smoking a cigarette on the balcony. Israelis smoke a lot. Because,
oh, I know,
you know,
I know.
We don't.
And they like the coffee. Yeah,
they smoke. Yeah. They do everything.
Yeah.
They, we don't fear death.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So smoking the cigarette and there's a bag, right?
Yeah.
They sent one guy. They sent one guy and a police officer. The guy comes. He stops the car.
Yeah.
He goes out, kind of looks around, look at the bag, goes back to his car,
yeah.
takes some sort of robot, goes, detonate the thing,
whoa.
Goes back to the car, takes from the police car like a broom and a thing, goes, picks up the residue of the exploded bag of the bomb, like
of
cleans it up,
and stuff?
Goes back to his police car and leaves. I haven't even finished the cigarette.
Oh,
this is how fast
God.
They neutralize the fucking thing. And
so
I was like,
"God damn!" You witnessed that. That's a common thing. That was a common thing.
Yeah, that's a one time my mom accidentally left her bag at a lobby, and they called the Israeli SWAT and whatever, and then she ran to there was like, "No, this is my bag. Here's my bag, please." And she had, like, you just can't, whatever you bought, just don't leave it unattended because
oh
a robot
God.
Would come and explode it.
What was it like joining the special forces? Like, what was the training like? Like, the,
so
like, was there like hell week or like hell, like where you had to do extensive training?
Yeah. So the thing is, with the Israeli army, it's called a mandatory volunteering.
So it's mandatory when you're how old?
So it's mandatory to join the army, which in my case, I think was bad for the army because I wasn't the best soldier.
Right.
Like they
right.
had to recruit me.
So when you're 18 years old?
I was 18 years old. And when you think about it, when like you're 18 years old, you're like the worst version of yourself.
Right, right. Because we're like, I'm short, like we're both short people too as well. Is there a height requirement?
There's no height requirement. But I wish they had because they gave me this huge M16. And it kept
how
like,
heavy was it?
It's heavy. It's long. It kept like bumping my calf like a baby chihuahua
oh
trying to hop
God.
Me or some shit. It was. But
you're not even like a. You're like 100. Not even 100 pounds, maybe.
Yeah, I have this thing. I don't really weigh myself.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like we already live in a reality with so much numbers. And,
yeah.
And
yeah.
And you know, and just judgment according to numbers. What the fuck does it matter? What
right,
you
right. But I was
does
just
the shirt look nice?
No,
you know
I was
mean?
Just
like,
saying. I was just saying because of I didn't know the Israeli requirements for
yeah.
like the armed forces.
There's no requirements, and that's
for height or weight.
No height, weight, gender. That's a good thing. Like you
yeah.
can you can do you can really be whatever. It really teaches you at a young age, you know, response. That's going back to like you're the shittiest version of yourself.
Yeah, right.
It teaches you, you know, responsibility and just having everybody tell you no.
Yeah,
no.
So,
and you're 18. Usually you get yeses because you're still like
right,
kind of a
right.
kid. Like, no, you can't do that.
So what was basic training like? I mean, like when you first went to the base, did you have to get up at like 4 a.m. and run up a hill?
Oh, my
like,
God.
What was
I got in so much trouble so many times because
like in what ways just smoking
yeah I was like a hippie a very hippie soldier
in
and
the Israeli army
yeah in the Israeli army and it's like weird like you know because your beliefs is like all you need is love
yeah,
and all
yeah,
this
yeah,
shit
yeah.
and your commander was like ISIS is on the way you what you need is to grab your gun shut the fuck
wow.
up
wow
and
so you listen to like you're into certain types of music as well.
Yeah, yeah, I love hip hop. I like EDM. Israeli, so Israelis,
they
dance.
Love the EDM.
They love the EDM. The techno, side techno. And you like, and you dance, like, and you fuck around.
Yeah,
I told this story, the other at some show. I never you do like motivational stories
yeah,
and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
but it was like a special, like it was a Jewish thing, and I told the story that. One day, one of my friends, they did like an art festival
yeah.
under the sky, and he worked so hard for it. All our friends were performing, we were
yeah.
comedians and musicians, and everybody was performing. And the day
well, during, when you're in the
in Israel,
well,
yeah,
during the not the army days.
No. It was like after the army.
After the army,
and
which was 4 years. Is that a 4 year requirement?
For women, it's 2 years.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Two and you're out.
Two and you're out.
Yeah.
Oh man, I got I got in so much trouble so many times.
Let's hear some stories.
I was a stoner. I was a stoner soldier.
How'd you get weed on the base? Okay.
Come on.
There's ways. Gonna... I'm sorry. That was a bad question.
No, but like, okay. So, okay. I remember one time, and I can say this because it's past enough time.
Yeah. Now. Right.
I'm in LA.
Thanks for being mindful.
Did I do something?
Just don't touch this part. Sorry. Is it good now? Good. Okay.
So I was like a hippie, stoner soldier, and I had this. My buddy Itzik would love to smoke bongs, right? And
you had bongs on the base?
No. Okay, that's okay. Why I almost got in jail.
Okay. Let's get to that part.
The day before, I used to go to the army every day, right?
Yeah.
But at nights, I would go home. At the night, I meet up with my buddy, Itzik, and he smokes his bong, and this motherfucker, whatever, leaves the bong in my car. Fast forward to the day after, I go to the army base with my car. I forget everything, because obviously I'm high all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Which is weird that they gave me a gun.
Yeah.
And
you said it was an assault rifle as well. You said it wasn't just it was a real assault rifle.
It was a semi. The first gun rage, I never forget.
Yeah, I want to know about that. So how did you learn how to fire this assault rifle?
They just give it to you and
so they just hand you.
Shoot, bitch.
On the first day, they just give you the rifle?
You have to point it really. You have to just point it and just go. I really like my fart gun. Yeah. As you can see, I'm a woman of war.
I love that.
Not war, conflict, but.
But so you, did you enjoy, did it give you adrenaline rush when you first shot your assault rifle there?
So I was kind of, it was kind of a shock to me because I didn't know that. So we were at the range and we were like, all the girls were like lying next to each other.
Yeah.
And the commander goes like, all right, girls, this is your first gun rage. When I say shoot, when I say fire, you fire. Is that understood?
That's how they talk?
Yeah. Yes, sir. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm fucking 18 years old. I miss my boyfriend.
Yeah.
I think he might be cheating on me. I don't know. I'm in the fucking army. This is like the worst hangover in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm at this gun range and he goes like, all right, girls, fire. And all the girls are firing. I didn't know that when an automatic weapon fires, the casket, they fly out.
And
it flew out and it kept burning my thing. And I was like, fuck. So I didn't shoot, right?
Oh my goodness.
The commander stops the whole thing and I can hear him going behind me and go, Messiah, which is my full name.
Yeah.
Why is all your bullets in the gun? And I said, I'm sorry, sir, the girl. I paused.
Yeah.
And he goes like, class, just know that in a real war situation, or would have had us all killed.
Oh, that's what...
And that was my welcome to the army.
Holy
Fast
smokes.
Forward, by the way, to the pandemic, my girl, Rachel Wolfson, so funny, shout out to Rachel. She goes like... Or, you know, if in case of a civil war. And stuff like that, we've all as a group decided that we're going to get a gun and give it to you since you have the most experience.
Oh, my God.
I don't think you want to give this gun to me.
So did you, what other types of training? Did you have to do cardio or run or climb up certain obstacles and stuff like that as well?
But the majority of the obstacles for me was just trying to dodge all these missions and all these things they wanted me to do. I was such a lazy soldier. Not lazy. I was just, you know, I was like a hippie. I was like a stoner.
Yeah.
I will never forget. So, okay, fast forward. I'm in the base with my car. I'm going to get lunch. It's noon. I'm passing my car and I see Itzik's bong at the passenger seat in my car, exposed to everybody. I'm in an Israeli army base right now.
Was it a glass bong?
It was one of those shitty bottles that you stick the shit in.
Oh, like a homemade.
Like a homemade.
Homemade bong.
Bong. And I was like, fucking shit. And I was like, if the commander's, I saw it. It was wide open. If my commander see it ever, I'm fucked, right? I'm going to army jail. And you never want to go to army jail because it's outdoors and it's hot.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. So... I go back to my table to the office, and there's like one piece of paper on the table, and that piece of paper probably was taken from like a folder of regulations, but that piece of paper says what happens to a soldier's being caught smoking weed in the Israeli army. And I look at, you know how sometimes you have like your heart drops and they have an audio, it's like boo,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Fuck, I'm fucked. So what I do is I call my girl Maya.
Is Maya, she in the army too?
She's in the army, but she's definitely not smoking weed.
Okay, yeah, so she's...
And she's like the best girl I know, and I call and I was like...
Straight
Maya.
Edge.
Straight edge. I was like, Maya, yeah. I need you to do me a favor. And she's like, Jesus Christ, or...
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What do you want now? And I was like, let me just come. I need to talk to you in person, right? And I go to her, and she goes like, what do you want? What do you... Like, because I've already asked her for so many random shit. I was like, I need you to piss in a cup for me. I mean, I need you to piss in a cup.
Oh, for because they're gonna drug test you.
Because I was like, if they drug test me, I'll have your piss on me in the cup. I'll wear or the bag or whatever, and I'll just put your piss. And then I'll and she's like, oh my god, or you're fucking like she's like, I'm not gonna, I'm like, please, Maya, please, piss in that cup for me, Maya, for all the friendship, for all the years we've been friends. Remember all the shit I've done for you. She's like, no, but you didn't do it right. I'm doing shit for you. And she ended up agreeing because I just wouldn't leave.
Yeah.
And I hung out with Maya's piss in my pocket.
So you didn't get busted that time?
I never got busted.
Now, so when you're done with your 2 years, you know, serving your time in the armed forces, like when did you discover comedy?
I think right there, I kind of found out that being funny gets me out of trouble, because I was faced trouble multiple times, but for like dumb shit. I never really did something that would harm anyone or jeopardize anybody's life or anything. I don't smoke weed, but I would make jokes and make my commanders laugh, and I got out of trouble. And then, but I didn't make much of it. I went to just do like the normal like. College and you know.
Oh, so you weren't hitting open mics?
No. I wasn't even thinking that because I had this like, I was, even if I had the thought of like maybe I should do comedy, maybe I should do something with my, you know, whatever it is. I immediately had like a voice of my Jewish mother going like, "What the fuck are you talking about? That's the worst idea."
Because they don't see it as a job option or a future in it.
They don't see it as a job, and it took me a lot of years to find out, you know, you to realize that you got to pay your bills, but you also got to pay your soul.
Yeah.
You know,
what do you mean by that? Pay your soul.
Pay your soul, like you have to pay your rent, like you pay monthly rent, but you have to pay your soul. Your soul, my soul is a woman. It's like this nagging bitch that always wants something. Take me here. Yeah, do this for me. Take me on the stages, dude. I want a boyfriend. I want some dick. I want some. Yeah. I want some art. I want some. Take me to an art gallery. Whatever it is, the soul wants. It's like, take me on a vacation. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Follow your dreams. You know, whatever it is that the soul wants, you kind of have to pay her, or else you're gonna end up very miserable, which is how I ended up. And I remember after years of. You know, doing the college thing. I had a career in online gaming.
Oh, well, what kind of games were you playing?
I wasn't playing games. I was a media. I was a media buyer.
Oh, so you weren't interested in playing video games?
No, I made money on the gamers, on the people who were playing games.
Like Warzone.
So if I know, okay, this guy loves Warzone.
Yeah, I play Warzone every night.
Okay, so I
so
would...
So, okay, like, use me as an example.
Okay,
like, if
so...
Like, it was back then, okay?
Okay, so...
What's my name?
Give Stevie.
Me, oh, no, give me a name from... Give
Warzone,
me a name.
Warzone guy.
Warzone guy.
Okay, so if I know that Warzone guy loves to play Warzone...
Yeah.
And I have that data, I would
so recommend... So you know I play Warzone.
I know you play Warzone.
How do you know I know... How do you know I play? How do you know I play?
The company I work for had the technology.
Just my name.
It's not the specific data, but it's just to show. It's just whenever you play, they would show you a similar game. Say, hey, if you like
Warzone.
But you
have
Warzone,
my name. You have my name. See, on the screen, right?
For me, it was big data, so I never really had people's name. It was just like...
How do you identify them then?
Traffic.
How would you identify like a particular
interest,
player?
Interest.
So how would you... I'm just kind of confused, like, because there's so many players that play video games. Yeah. Like, how would you identify one particular player?
It's just what they play. I know that they like to play Warzone because it's in the data because of the technology.
But you say they, is it like a whole group of data or just one? Yeah. So it's a whole group of data.
It's a whole group of data saying these people
play this game.
Play this game. They love this game.
Yes.
And now you have a client, I have a client that have a similar game that say, you know, this really fits. Whoever likes to play Warzone
is going to play Destiny or some
might
other game.
Really enjoy playing this.
Because it's a first-person shooter or something. Yeah, it's similar.
Yeah, it's similar. So if you can bring the Warzone guy to try out our game, we will pay you the moment he logs in.
Well, how do they log all that info? Like,
they fucking follow you around.
They have programs?
Yeah, they have programs. They follow you. They know everything. So Big Daddy is like a lot of money.
Okay, but how do they give you... How are you incentivized? Like, how do they give you the credit as an employee? Like, or got this group to switch over to play this other first-person shooter. How do they give you the credit?
There's just algorithms that kind of track you. Okay, so say, Warzone 1 played Warzone.
Yeah.
And then he saw Orr's offer. He clicked on it. Now he's playing, but whatever, Conflict Zone, whatever.
Oh, so they could log all that, track that.
Yeah, they track that. It's not really like, they don't really track which like, other, the company really track, like, you know, what you are. They didn't really give a fuck.
Like
it's
what
more like,
race you are?
No. They don't give a fuck. It's more like, did the Warzone guy, did your ad
make him go to this other game?
Did he log in? Did he create an account? Then you get the money.
You know what? You got me thinking. Now I'm paranoid because because on Instagram, I noticed this because I noticed that I'll check out a particular pair of shorts or pants. Right. And then I'll log in some other time and it's a similar type of thing, but not the same brand.
So
it's a different brand, but it's similar like aesthetics. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, how do they know? Like
they know.
So that there's a person.
They're not just
like
guessing.
You,
there's a person like me, what I used to do where I was like, oh, fuck, before I said, fuck
Holy
this shit. I just want
to
make motherfuckers laugh and live freely
and
authentically. And you know, I literally dumped it. I remember.
But how were you able to do this? Do you have a PC or a computer?
So
and
a whole division of coders. I'm mostly like the face that is making the deals, you know.
My name is Little Ray, but you may know me as Raymond, man. The Stevie Weeby Show is brought to you by Lucy Nicotine, man. You already know they make the best taste of nicotine gum known to man, but now we're pleased to announce their new slim nicotine pouches. These puppies contain pure synthetic nicotine, but what does that mean? You get the same satisfaction you're used to, but without any tobacco at all, man. Trust me, I've been chewing Grizzly Wintergreen for about 45 years, but these pouches are made with coconut oil and gum that provide a soft, fluffy texture that enhances the flavor and doesn't dry out your mouth. Like chewing tobacco, you just slip this one under your tongue or your lip, but you don't have to worry about spitting anything out because there's no tobacco. Spit-free. They come in three strengths, 4, 8, and 12 milligrams. And there's three exclusive delicious flavors, man. Spearmint, mango, and cool cider. You might be wondering what my favorite flavor is? Mango. Lucy Nicotine was created to help nicotine users find a cleaner option. No more gross gums or bad tasting pouches, man. Go to lucy.co and use promo code Stevie to get 20% off your order of Lucy Slim Pouches or any other Lucy products. That's lucy.co and use promo code Stevie at checkout. And here's the part the lawyers made me say. Warning, this product contains non-tobacco nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, man. But you already knew that, so go to lucy.co and be sure to use the promo code Stevie for 20% off. Let's get her done, man.
But the thing is...
So you're like the crew chief of that group.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, it's... I don't think it's as... I don't know if it's as malicious though, because it's
literally
it's suggesting you might like this game.
But the thing is, there's more to it.
But they track you.
But they track your likes and your desires and your aesthetic and what, you know what I'm saying?
So everything, and I say to people, like, people, you know, they talk about AI, artificial intelligence, as if this is like this robot that is thinking. But AI is already exists in the world, but it's just, it's very prominent in marketing.
You don't know how to pinpoint who it is.
AI is just, it's algorithm that studies you.
That studies.
They study your what do you like, what do you spend time on.
So they know what websites you're going to. Yep. Like if you're a skateboarder and you go to this site, oh, he likes this kind of skateboard or this type of
shoe. Yeah, and it's not only skateboard, there's profiling in it too. So they can say.
What do you mean by that?
This girl shops for baby stuff. So okay, so that means she has a baby. If she has a baby,
then she
likes
Gerber. She might like Gerber.
Maybe she like Gerber. Or if she like Gerber, what does she like doing in her free time? Is she a yogi person? Maybe we'll yoga or music, whatever it is.
She likes these kinds of necklaces because people who attend these classes wear these types of necklaces. Then they'll present that.
Yeah, and you know what? Really, sometimes I think about. I wonder if you're a leader or part of the herd. Like, so if they're profiling you, what they're doing is really they're creating groups of people, right? Okay, so are they leading all this group kind of like a Google Map thing in traffic? They're
like
leading
sheep.
All this group to do this, and so because you see all these ads, that's what you become.
Right.
Or is it the other way around? Are they kind of following what you do? Like, what is strong, the technology or the self?
All right, my next question is this, though. Hold up. Hold your horses there. Hold up. You're not off the hook yet.
Yeah.
How the hell did you even land a job like that? Like, when you go to, like human resources there, like, how do you find out about these job descriptions?
I was still in college and I was dating this guy.
Was he a gamer or into that?
He was a gamer.
So that's
and,
how it started.
And he did a lot of online casino stuff.
Well, so he did and gambling games.
He had the casinos.
Wait.
He built games. So he was a designer.
He was a game designer.
Exactly.
Not a gamer. He designed the games.
He designs the game. So, and he was really, really, really rich. And I remember.
How rich was he? Like, did he have like a mansion out there in Tel Aviv?
He was rich.
He had
well, Tel Aviv is really expensive, so he had a condo on a beach.
How much was that? The dollar amount. How much would that cost? Dollar amount.
Millions of millions of dollars.
Because you said on the beach.
On the beach, millions of millions of dollars. He made mad money, and
so he was a multimillionaire.
He was a multimillionaire.
Would you say he had $100 million?
Now for sure, I don't know.
then,
now
maybe,
for sure, well, we broke
but
up.
Back
we
then,
broke
maybe,
up.
Maybe
I didn't
20.
Like his cough,
right.
So I broke
wait,
up.
Wait,
with
wait,
him.
Wait, 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 hold up. This guy, wait, hold up.
So this guy, okay,
wait, hold up. You're not off the hook yet. Hold up. This guy was a genius game designer.
Yeah,
he had a freaking awesome house on the beach in Tel Aviv, multimillionaire, and you broke up with him because you didn't like his cough.
Dude, he used to wake up in the morning, goes. Ah! Sorry, and I'm like, oh my god!
Wait! Hold on. Why did he do that? Cough?
I think he was allergic to dairy or some shit. And I was so young. I was like, I can handle this shit. He was not that old. He was only like 35 years old, but I was 22, and I was like, what the fuck, man? Yeah. What the fuck? And it was just too much for me. But the thing is, too, like, I remember that was like a moment in my life because I was dating this guy.
How did you meet him? How did you meet him again?
I met him at skateboarding on the beach. and I met him. I had no pants on. I was skateboarding barefoot on the beach, and I guess he. That's the thing with guys, though. That's the thing with guys that was hard for me in the pandemic because I was like, most
Dude.
Of the boyfriends I had. Always saw me in my element in a way, and
you're funny. Though. I mean,
and you either fuck with it or you don't.
You must have seen some humor. I mean, because you're a funny person.
Oh, well, hopefully.
Was he? Oh, I'm guessing he was more of like this, like
yeah.
you know, the straight. Like
he was a straight guy. And
like
I'm
poker face guy.
Poker
like
face
just
guy.
He has
a lot of poker games too.
Business
guy, and I guess he liked my sense of freedom, and I didn't really give
yeah,
a fuck. I mean, I enjoyed
you didn't
his
marry
wealth.
This guy?
In the beginning, I thought so because he was so cool. He was also a pro snowboarder. Like, a cool guy. He was a cool guy.
So he was a game designer, millionaire.
Pro.
And a pro snowboarder?
Snowboarder. And, he was so cool. But he had
hit the jackpot.
Dude, but they had this fucking
just
cough.
The cough? What, every
in
morning?
Like 8 a.m. I was like, Jesus, fuck. Yeah. I'm not even Christian like that.
Yeah, yeah. But what about?
But anyway, but
did he must. What did he look like? Was he a hand? He must have been.
He was a handsome guy.
I mean,
he had a nice, very nice sized penis. Very nice sized penis.
Wait, do that.
Very nice sized penis. Let's say. Wait, let me
hold
just.
Hold up.
He was like, I think at least.
Wait, hold on. Wait. Where's the base? Like, where's the?
Okay, let's say this is the balls.
Wait. This is the balls.
This is the balls.
Wait. What? This. This is the balls?
This could be the balls.
Wait. Just make your mind. Okay,
what do you want to be the balls?
This is the balls.
This is the balls.
Okay, so.
All right.
How far? Okay, so go ahead.
So let's say this is the balls.
Yeah. And this is his penis is right here?
Yeah, I'd say this is a good size.
Wait, hold up. Hold up. Just keep it right there. So he was 9 inches?
And he was thick. That motherfucker had girth. Let me tell you something. That motherfucker had girth. Girth? That's how you say it? Girth?
Yeah.
Girth?
Yeah, he had girth.
Girth.
Wait,
girth.
Hold up. Now,
hell
no, this
to
is
the
my,
yeah.
Wait, hold up. This is my next question. Now I'm concerned. Now I'm concerned. Because what you just described is, hold up, or...
What I just described is a traumatic experience
beyond,
for a young little
average,
girl.
That's beyond average.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, that's extremely a large man.
I'm always blessed like that. I'm always blessed. Sometimes I thank the God of the Jews to send me all these angels to come and just pleasure me.
So, why the hell? Just because of his cough.
I shouldn't talk like this in the podcast.
Can we give him a shout out, though? Because I want to shout. This guy seems like an amazing person.
I don't want to. I think he's like married with kids now.
Okay, but can I just say, just give him a nickname. I want to give him a shout out, please.
Let's call him Catch 22.
Catch 22, shout out.
Shout out.
The Stevie Weeby Show. We admire you.
He used to always say, it's a Catch 22, hey.
Okay, so wait. How long were you with this guy?
I was with him. I was like, what? Two years.
And you broke it off with him?
I broke up with him, A, because of the cough, but B, it was the first moment, like the fine moment of my life as a woman, where I understood that I don't want to be shadowing anybody successful. I want to be the boss bitch.
Right.
And I understood that dating somebody rich or famous or successful is great, but you're not free, really. You're really free when it's your own success and your own money.
When did you realize, because these are really mature realizations that you're...
When I was dating him, because wherever we go,
He would pay for dinner. Like,
We had nice dinner. He was so rich, though. But it was like... Which is great, right? He's great. And now I'm a comic, so obviously, you know, I'm building everything. I'm not a multimillionaire or
but
anything
humility,
like that.
You have humility.
I have humility. But the thing is, like, I have this journey to find a true freedom.
Yeah.
What is true freedom? True freedom. And with him, he would give me the freedom. But the fact that somebody gives you his freedom from their fame or their success means you're, by definition, not free because they can take it away.
Oh, so did he use that against you? Like, was it a transactional relationship then?
It was not.
So
was
he was
never,
just a giving boyfriend.
He was a great guy. The fucked up person that left a multimillionaire.
Okay.
Bitch, why? Why? Okay. He had the millions. He had the girth.
Okay.
Why?
So we love you, Catch 22. Yeah, no, you're good. I want to get back because we got off topic, but that was a great, like, segue. That was great what you just did with this. And
should we ever? Yeah.
Was he really? I mean, yeah. Go. Can I just? Can you display? I mean, geez. Okay. sorry about that. I want to get back to the game design. So, how long were you working on this? The gaming company or the research group.
Right. So once I had that realization, I hit up my friend of mine. She was working at this company. I was like, hey. can you set up an interview? And she's like, okay. And I'm sitting there with the CEO, and it's a great meeting. But then he goes, look, you look very nice. You look like a sweet person, but you have zero experience in this. Why should I hire you? And I told him, listen to me very carefully. I have zero experience. Everything you're saying is right. But I promise you that if you teach me, I'm going to make you a lot of fucking money. I'm going to make you a lot of fucking money. I said, give me 3 months. And he's like, okay, all right, cool. And he gave me 3 months.
You
and
remind me of just now of Scarface.
Like, that was a gangster. Give me 3 fucking months.
That's or Montana, like Tony Montana. You just remind me of that. Keep going.
But you know what? When you decide you want to be a boss bitch, you have to go with it, even if you don't know.
So
fake it before you make it. I didn't know.
I promised him these things, and I knew I would do my best.
Oh,
so you're talking out your ass.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing.
So you're talking. You're just talking. You're talking.
The thing is, though, you can talk out of your ass. You can talk, but if you have that intentions to know that I don't know what I'm doing or I'm about to do, but I know that I will do my best to figure it out, and that's my pure intention.
Wow.
It's gonna work out for you.
Wow, dude,
it's gonna work
dude,
for
I
you.
Dude, I got a that's a real good trait to have. Characteristic. To
you
have.
Know, it's like you're going into.
That's you know what? That's confidence.
Hopefully.
You exuded confidence. Like, yeah. Even though you didn't really know what you just said, I'm gonna do this. And then he hired you, right?
Yeah. Sometimes my friend told me, or is great. She was going very confidently in the wrong direction.
In the wrong direction. Okay, so he hired you on the spot.
He hired me on the spot, and I did the tech shit, and I did well.
How long were you there?
And that's the second place, like 3-4 years.
3-4 years. And you did make the money.
I made him, I'll never forget, because I would... I made him so much money. I never forget one time, because I would come and go as I please.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like even you would set your own breaks?
Yeah, because
you just say like I'm out.
When you make your boss money, they don't really talk to you. It's because
they know you're on your game.
You're on your back.
Yeah.
You're on your game. Just leave her alone.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with her too much. I remember one time there was one of the account managers, he ratted me out or something.
He ratted you out?
He said, why does or so?
Oh, he was hating on you.
He was hating on me. And that's the thing. If you got people hating on you, it means you're doing something right.
All right.
It means you're doing something right because, and I always say, fuck those motherfuckers. Who give a fuck?
Now, that's interesting you would say that because now it's so easy to hate, especially online and stuff. So, when you see something like on Instagram or Facebook or something like that, how do you just ignore that?
Yeah, I have even in one of my videos, they so much hate it. They call me the N-word. They call me a lot of which not too much hating though. But
yeah.
The thing is, I feel that going back to the journey of. To be the freest that you can.
Yeah.
Hatred, fear, and ego, in a way, are in a similar family. And what it really is it's chaining you. It's chaining yourself from going as high as you can go.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a mushroom trip. You're on a mushroom trip.
But you
have these fucking things that don't let you fucking
trip.
That's the fear and ego and all that in life. Oh, I don't know if my analogies
you.
Are that good.
No,
but
no, that's a great analogy. Now, you brought up... Can I try one too?
Sorry, I'm silly.
Now, you mentioned mushrooms. Did you experiment with mushrooms...
Yeah.
When you're living out there?
Yeah.
How did you find them? Do they grow prevalent out there?
Yeah. You know, people you go out in raves and
oh yeah, because you said you mentioned EDM and so you must have been to they probably have awesome raves out there. Don't they have the big ones out there?
They have really
the major ones.
Let me tell you, in Israelis they like to party. They fuck
so
around.
they play jungle and EDM and trip hop.
Everything. They just go for it. But it's funny because they don't really twerk. And
well, what do you mean they don't?
They don't, you know, twerk.
Oh.
They They don't do it.
Oh, they don't.
They
do
don't
that.
Do it. And the thing is, like, I lived in America, and one of my favorite things to do is to work. And I got this Jewish work when I kind of kneel because I have a lower back problem. But I still, you know, I try to do my best.
Yeah.
And I went.
So they don't twerk at the raves.
They don't twerk at
clubs.
Is that a cultural thing? It's a hip hop club. The bitches be like.
Yeah, yeah.
But
is it not in the culture? Is it a cultural thing?
It's not in the culture because so last time I went to Israel, there was like a hip hop club, and I started like, hey, you know, like everything.
Yeah.
And the girls were like, what?
Oh, they were looking at you funny?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But it's okay because I've embraced the American culture. I love to twerk. It makes people so fucking happy. Everybody goes like, hey! It's like a magical thing. Hey!
Now, like, when you first tripped on, did that kind of open doorways for you to think of, like, different things? Like, oh, maybe I should try comedy. Or maybe I should do music. Or...
So
did it like really expand your mind out there?
So what actually expanded my mind is that I got the flu, and it's a weird thing. It was before COVID.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're good.
I got depressed. So I'm doing all this shit. I'm doing the gaming shit.
Boss.
I have this gorgeous boyfriend, also very girthy.
Yeah.
And
new boyfriend.
A new boyfriend.
Wait, we broke up. Okay. Hold on. Let's not.
It's
skip.
Not about the guys. Wait, hold up. It's not. They don't matter. They don't matter.
They don't matter. Okay.
Not right now. I mean.
All
right.
But was it?
They're in the past.
I just want to know the one after the gaming designer guy. What did he do for? Like, was he a DJ?
I feel like this. Oh, my ex is gonna come back
me. No. They're not gonna even watch the Stevie Weeby show.
No.
This is like a cult thing. Like, no.
Yeah.
They're not gonna watch this.
No,
but I'm just my own curiosity.
Yeah,
so was he in music?
No, he wasn't. He was just I don't remember what the fuck. What was he doing? That's him, by the way.
But he was just a normal guy you met.
He was a normal guy. He was cute. But anyway, I was working, I was doing, and then I got really depressed. I got really sad for some reason.
What made you that depressed?
So I wasn't sure, and then I got the flu.
Okay.
And I went to this doctor, and I was like, listen, I got this flu. It's like a month now.
It's free healthcare out there, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. That's what the
it's
nice
like,
thing
it's
about
like
it.
It's England.
Yeah.
Yeah,
free
yeah.
healthcare is, you know,
yeah.
abortions. That's how it sounded too.
Okay. All right.
Anyway,
time stamp that. We'll cut that out.
Yeah. No more abortion.
Okay. So.
So I go to this doctor, and it was this Russian guy, and he goes like, "Listen, are you sad or something?" I was like, "What the fuck is this guy talking about?" He goes like, "I'm not gonna prescribe you nothing. You're not getting better because mentally, emotionally, something going wrong. I want you to go home. I want you to figure out how you live a happier life because
that's
you're young. There's
said?
Nothing wrong with you."
That's what he said.
That's what he said. I swear to God.
He didn't.
That's
so he didn't give you a prescription or
nothing.
Pills
I was
or
like,
nothing?
This is the weirdest Russian doctor I've ever met in my fucking life.
I kind of like him though because he sounds different.
Because he brought me here. Can you imagine all the mushroom trips didn't give me a realization? Russian doctor did.
He's a culprit of like making you do this. Continue.
I go home and I sit on this beanbag and I look at the ceiling and I was like, what the fuck, man? Like, how did I go wrong? Like, I did everything right, everything by the book. My parents, I'm working, I went to college. Why the I have this boyfriend? Like, what is wrong? And then I get this voice in me that goes like, if you want to snap out of this, you need to shake your soul. You know, you need
That's
to.
That's what he said?
The voice, yeah. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? He goes like, you need to do something that scares you.
What do you mean by this voice? This is an internal?
Like a feeling, like an internal
feeling. Oh, right.
Internal feeling. And you know, it's even a journey to learn how to listen to that inner voice.
It's kind of like meditation.
Yeah.
You just have to be still.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to be still or just that rock bottom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was like, something scares me. What the fuck? And then I thought about just stand-up comedy and like being on a stage and doing
that,
some sort of entertainment.
So that thought came out from the ethos? That just came out of nowhere, that thought? Because have you ever had that particular thought?
No. I mean, that was always kind of like goofy and kind of like, a very silly human being. But
that was a specific suggestion.
Yeah. I grew up in a culture that was like, no, you make money is what you do.
Yeah.
You go and you work and you make money. And even when I had that thought, I was like, what the fuck, bitch, no. Like, my mom's voice came
because even
like,
my neighbors, Ravid and his brother, I noticed, and I work for Shlomi, their friend Shlomi.
Yeah.
Right? That sounds pretty, yeah recognizable, right? Yeah. That's a common name. Shlomi. Shlomi had his own key lock business.
Oh, yeah. It was a locksmith?
All
my life here, by the way, I'm trying to avoid the stigma of being either being a locksmith or selling dead sea products.
Or a plumber.
Something wrong with your skin.
So Shlomi, I worked out of his two-bedroom apartment right there. He had four computers, and I had to come up with fake Yahoo reviews. I had to come up with fake stories of being locked out of my car. They're like, Steve, you have to make it up. More, 100 email. Steve, you're not doing fast. And then they would bring girls over. Hey, Steve, we have a woman upstairs. You want to go look? But my point being is these guys all had their own businesses.
Yeah.
Locksmith, plumber, roofing, everything.
Yeah. Dead Sea products.
Yeah.
Creams, facial creams.
This is going back to your story.
All
is like shit. You're used to that. Get a business. Do your trade.
Do my trade. Do my thing. And I go, stand-up comedy? What the fuck, bitch? That's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
But then I kind of marinated it for like a week. And then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to go. I'm going to give myself a story to tell to my grandkids, right?
I'm going to
do it in New York. I'm going to do it in L.A. I didn't come here to be a comedian. I didn't come here to be a performer by like a career. I came here to do one show.
Just one show?
I wanted to do one show kind of like with somebody going to like a Vipassana or a silent retreat or yoga retreat.
Yeah.
And then they do the duration of that retreat and they come back.
Yeah.
I didn't intend to stay here and make it is, you know, a thing.
So so you're planning to do one mic?
No. So I saw this like group thing that.
Wait, hold on. We're skipping steps. So you're still. So
I'm still in Israel.
You're still in Israel.
I found this guy. He's doing like some sort of a group writing thing. But at the end of it, you all do a show, whatever. And I was like, okay, this is perfect.
It's like near a campus or something?
No, it was not the campus.
It was just in the city.
It was in Santa Monica.
Okay, so you're here now.
No. This guy. I'm still in Tel Aviv. I called this motherfucker up. I was like, hey.
Oh, so he told you about a show in Santa Monica.
I saw it.
California.
I saw the reviews, by the way. They were probably written by a motherfucker like you.
With Shlomi. Okay, thank you. Time stamp.
Like, ooh, this looks good. Yeah.
Okay, so continue. I'm still with you on this story. So you're still there.
I'm calling this guy from Tel Aviv. This guy's called Jerry. Shout out Jerry Katzman.
There you go. I like the shout outs. Keep doing that.
Yeah, shout out Jerry Katzman. What an amazing soul. Very funny.
He helped you out.
He gave me a structure to write and then do a little showcase at the Haha, actually. Shout out the Haha.
I love the Haha.
Awesome place, too. And so I'm still in Tel Aviv, so I call this guy, and he probably sees like a, you know, it's like one of those, how do you call this app that calls people,
a receptionist?
PayPal? Not PayPal, PayPal's how you pay. Whatever. So
it was an app, like money transferring app?
No, like when you call people on Skype.
Oh, Skype.
Skype. So he probably sees 1, 2, 3, he goes like 1, 2, 3, he's like, hello? I was like, hey, is your name Jerry and you're from Santa Monica? He's like, yeah.
You said it like that?
I sounded far worse, so I bet I did. Yeah, I bet that's how I sounded to him.
But you're like loud on the phone like that?
Because I'm in Israel. There's much shit going
on
in Israel.
Okay, I didn't know that.
People think that Israelis are loud for no reason. No, we're loud because we can't hear anything.
Because there's so much traffic and stuff?
A lot of Jewish people
talking. Wait, one last question. I didn't want to get you off track. Are there people that look like me over there?
Yeah.
There's Asians in Tel Aviv, Israel?
So the misperception, and I know...
Let them know.
So the misperception is that Jewish people are only like Caucasian and they only they look a certain way. And I think that's because also the Jewish people that live in America are a lot of them are Caucasian. But Jewish people really came from all over the world to Israel. So I'm an Israeli, but I'm Moroccan, Sudanese, and Egyptian.
Cool.
So I'm an Egyptian Jewish girl. So there could be a Jewish person, like an Asian Jewish person, a Russian Jewish person. So Jews is really a faith. So what happens because the Jews were scattered all over the world, and after the Holocaust, they were given in the state.
Yeah, yeah.
So they just came from all the world, from Italy, from Asia,
from Korea,
China,
Japan,
of course,
Philippines,
everywhere. I mean, I don't know if there's as much because most of them are like either from they're either Sephardic like me, which is like African, or they're Ashkenazi.
Wait, say that Sephardic.
Sephardic Jews.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like me. So it's like it would be from Egypt, Morocco, Sudan,
gotcha,
Iran,
gotcha.
Iraq.
Yeah.
That or there'll be from Poland or Europe.
But
there's all just
so it's mixed. It's
Argentina,
a mixed bag. It's
Latin
a mixed
Jews.
Bag. It's diverse.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's a melting pot.
I didn't know there's Asian. So there's Asian looking people,
Brazilian
people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Jewish people come in all shapes, colors.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah. And I think it's important to know this, especially.
No, that's
down
knowledge.
This
you just gave some knowledge. That's
yeah. So
let's
I'm
go back.
I'm Jewish,
to
but I got that little Moroccan, Sudanese, Egyptian bitch. What the fuck?
So
man, I got tired.
So we're almost done. No, you're almost done.
We're still
on your trajectory.
Moving.
So you did the call, and then what did he say? He said, "Come on over to L.A., Santa Monica."
No, he said first, gotta pay me.
Okay, so it's okay.
No, but it's okay.
Okay, that's fine. It was worth it. It was worth it.
And I. So by the way, I got everything settled. I don't know anybody in L.A. I know one person.
So you didn't know a single person?
A single soul.
So you really made it on your own. You didn't know anyone.
Not even one person.
Holy moly.
And I even more than that, I knew one person from back in the Army. She moved to L.A. She didn't do comedy or anything like that.
Yeah, but you knew her.
I knew her. She lives there with her aunt. And I talked to her. I was like, hey. She goes like, oh, we have a spare room. I was like, well, how much do you pay? And tell her I pay the same thing, and I won't even stay there for a month time, right? She goes like, okay, fine, good.
That was a hookup.
The day of my flight.
So you just bought a plane ticket?
I got a plane ticket. Yeah. fuck this shit.
You're just sporadic, spontaneous.
Listen, life is short.
What did you tell
your folks?
But what did you tell your folks?
I lied. I tell you why I lied. Because there's something romantic about something that's still just yours.
Yeah.
You know, there's something romantic about it and like going to this journey and have it your own first.
Yeah.
And have it free of judgment.
Yeah.
And free of, before you declare to the world that you want to do this thing, how about you just go? I told them I'm going on vacation. They were fine with it. I was like, listen, I've been working really hard. I've been doing well. It was Hanukkah.
Yeah.
I need some time. I'm going to go to L.A. I've never been there.
They're
all right, cool. So.
How old were you at this time?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, what matters is she made the decision and she just went for it. Continue. How long was that flight? I was always curious about that. How long is the flight from Tel Aviv to L.A.?
The flight is 17 hours.
It's
a long flight. But even before the flight, right? Before the flight, I'm at the bank. So
how much you take out?
So this is exactly what happened.
Okay.
I'm at the bank. I'm telling the clerk, I said, listen, she gave me a card, right? So to for America.
Yeah.
International credit card. She gave me an international credit card. I said, listen, transfer the shekels, which is the Israeli money, the shekels to U.S. dollars so I don't get screwed over in the, you know, all the shit. She goes like, U.S. dollars? This card would not. I was like, what the fuck? Not even 5 minutes later, the girl that I was supposed to stay with in L.A. sends me a WhatsApp, says like, so my aunt changed her mind and you can't really come here.
Whoa.
So within less than five minutes, I have no money and nowhere to go. And I know nobody.
And you still went.
In Los Angeles. So I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going on. I call my sister Bar. My sister, shout out to Bar. Yeah. Amazing fashion designer. Mashiach. Check her out. M-A-S-H-I-I-A-H. Amazing fashion designer. You're going to. Yeah. She's gonna. Okay. She's about to dress all the rappers here in there.
Yeah.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. So. But she will. She's amazing. She made this hat. Whatever.
Okay.
Wait,
shout out.
Shout out to Bar. Shout out to Bar Mash. She's an amazing fashion designer. Studied in Chanel. She's gonna. All the rappers are gonna wear clothes. Visit her at M-A-S-H-I-I-A-H on the Instagram. Click
so
it.
You did the right thing right there.
Click it.
She's gonna thank you.
I mean, yeah.
Hopefully. I'm putting it out there.
And not just because I'm your sister. Oh, she's phenomenal. That's I'm going to show you her shit.
Please do. Please do. Phenomenal. All right. So I want to know what. Okay. Keep. All right.
Because
this episode flew by the way. Because the fart. This is so entertaining. The fart gun.
Did it her fly dance by? Moves. Oh, did it fart by?
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
Bar sits in Paris. She's having a coffee with her friend in Paris in a cafe. I call her up. I was like, Bar, you're not going to believe this. And now I got no money, nowhere to stay. Bar goes, you should still go on this plane. I was like, what? She goes, like, if you're not going to go right now, you're never going to go.
That's what she said.
That's
family talking.
Yeah, that's Bar talking.
Yeah.
Oh,
it did?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Check. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So from what state, what point?
Where the thing that she just told you.
Okay. Yeah.
So I call Bar. Bar is sitting in Paris with a friend for some coffee. I tell Bar, you're not going to believe this. Now I got no money and I know nobody. This girl says her aunt changed her mind. I don't know where to go. I have no money.
Yeah.
Bar goes, you have to go on this plane because if you're not going to go up this plane right now, you're never going to go. So just go on a plane and it'd be okay for you. I know it. I was like, fuck, okay. And she's my baby sister.
Yeah.
So I go on the plane. As soon as I land in LA, I get these texts from this woman saying, hi, Orr. I heard all about your story. And I just want you to come stay with me until you get your credit card. What happened, I tell you. An older Jewish woman heard Bar saying my story to her friend in Paris. She came up to them saying, my cousin lives in LA. So from Israel to Paris to LA, the LA got a phone call back to me, and I ended up having a place to stay for 2 weeks.
Whoa, that really happened?
Yeah. That girl was insane, though. That's a whole different story. That's a whole another podcast.
Yeah,
that girl was
part
really
two.
Crazy.
That's for part two. That's insane.
A, yeah.
And so. Right after, damn, dude, it's all. We're gonna. I want to get to at least to the comedy part. So you're here. You have 2 weeks. How did you like keep your trajectory going as far as your like stepping on stage for the first time? I need to know that.
Oh man, I felt like I was gonna get a heart attack. I felt like I'm gonna fall off a cliff. It's like the. It was so
it an
scary.
Open mic?
It was a show. It was a legit showcase. Like, it was like 50 people there.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my God, I felt I was going to get a heart attack.
Did you have an act? Did you write on
the
plane?
So yeah, I wrote an act. I practiced it for like a few weeks, and then I got
wait,
up
just
and
in
I did
your
it.
Apart, this in your
yeah, yeah, I went to some mics or something, yeah. And I practiced it, and I got up, and I swear to God, I went up, and that was what I was. That moment was what I was praying for, because what I really was depressing me is the certainty of life, of saying, okay, is this what I'm gonna do in my life? Is good. What I wanted is the uncertainty, right? I wanted the magical moment to happen that I don't know what's gonna happen. I may bomb. I may do well. I may piss my pants in front of everybody and make a fool out of myself. But it's okay, cause I can go back to Israel. Nobody know. But it was amazing. It was amazing.
So you
and I
did
was like,
well.
I did well, and I was like, you know what? It beats antidepressant, and it goes back to paying your soul. Yeah. If your soul wants something, a lot of the times the soul asks you to do stuff that are out of your comfort zone, most of the time.
Because the soul
is like a curious child in a way. It's like, oh, what's there?
So what do you actually call that, like maybe intuition or something? Your soul, intuition, like that voice?
Yeah, intuition, curiosity, an inner voice.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I'm still learning, but the more I'm doing this, the more I'm learning to listen to that inner voice. Because there's that inner voice that is your truth. That is what you desire, and usually that is against everything your brain tells you and everything society tells you in a way, because they, you know.
So what's your, like, this is a good maybe a segue in, like, wrapping things up, like, for someone watching this, what kind of
And I haven't even played you on my songs yet. Exactly. I have so many songs.
Part two. You're always welcome back on the Stevie Weeby Show, always, okay? You can always bring the fart gun back. Everything's fine. But I have to know, from that, like, what suggestions, if someone is watching this, what would you tell them, let's say, if they're, like, kind of on the fence about not only comedy, but maybe pursuing something that they're afraid to pursue?
I say, I've learned recently that the biggest enemy of fear is love. So if you have some sort of dilemma, some situation, and you're scared from it, which is a human thing, you're scared from it because you're scared from the judgment. You're scared of what if I fail?
Mm-hmm.
What if it doesn't go as I want? That's one way to attack it. But try to attack it from a loving place of like, no, I'm a human being. I'm gonna show myself some love. Like it's like you're dating yourself in a way. You know, it's fine. Even if I bomb and even if I don't do that well, I gave myself that love. I gave myself that experience. In the end of the day, sometimes I think to myself, what would 75-year-old Orr would tell this version of Orr?
Yeah.
And she would probably tell her, bitch, fuck around. You're young. You got everything going for you. Be courageous. Do it. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives. Let me tell you something.
Right.
I got COVID. Not now. I got COVID. I posted. I had COVID on my story. Like 500 people saw it. 9 people commented get well. What I learned from it is that nobody gives a fuck.
Right.
It doesn't really. No, but it doesn't.
So you're
matter.
Saying
nobody
even even the people watching content or watching your thing, they don't really care.
Nobody care. Nothing really matters. Do it for you. Like a kid taking like you're going to on like some sort of a playground, like you're going on a roller coaster. Give yourself those memories, because at the end of the day, those memories is what you're gonna have left when you're old and you can't move and you can't do the work.
Right. That's beautiful the way you ended that. okay. Now this is the time where I wanted to plug your, if you have a website, upcoming shows, tour, whatever you got going on. I want you to plug your Instagram, website, everything right here.
Yeah. So it's Orr Mash, like Orr Mashed Potatoes, and mm-hmm. my Instagram is Orr Mashed Potatoes. It's O-R-M-A-S-H.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Potatoes. It's a picture of a rabbit holding a microphone. My next show, I got a big show coming up, Supernova, October 1st. It's going to be really great. It's outdoors, mm-hmm. great lineups all the time. I have a lot of funny songs coming up, and we can maybe even meet again.
Yeah,
fuck around with some music.
Absolutely.
And some, just, you know, have a goof around.
Yeah.
Do you
incorporate that into your comedy set?
I want to. So now, I feel like now.
I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
Because we've had other comedians on this platform, and even have you heard Jay Ketapreta? Jay?
Yeah.
She actually is starting to incorporate music into her act.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
so great. I think that that's maybe a different approach. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't
it
know.
It could be great. Yeah. I'm really experimenting, and I'm having fun. And really, my goal at the end of the day is if you come and see me, you feel free and silly.
Now, do you have any like merch or anything we could plug to, like a website for your like where they could buy, like, you know, some?
Yeah, so it's just Or Mashed Potatoes on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. There's no website yet because yeah. I am a
but
owner.
they could get stuff.
But if you click on the Instagram, follow me. Merch is coming. Songs is coming. I just me and my sister and Natalia Montesinos wrote a show called Needs. They just won 7 awards in Toronto, London, Atlanta. For best comedy, it's called Needs. Follow MASH Sisters. MASH Sisters, MASH Sisters. It's me and my little sister, Ophir, yeah. Fucking around in America, and it's funny and great.
How do they watch this work?
Follow us, and we're gonna release it.
Okay, so is it, how long is this piece?
This piece is 10 minute long, and we've just got another award from the Atlanta Comedy Festival. It's really, really, really fun. And I have an EP coming out.
Can we plug that as well? And where can people listen to your upcoming EP release?
Again, follow me on Instagram. That's my main channel, because from there I will tell you everything about the YouTube, about, you know, Spotify,
yeah.
Apple, everything. The EP is coming out. There's great songs.
How many songs? Like 6?
Five songs. Like EP, so I have five. These two things. I do funny songs.
Yeah.
I do funny, like, comedy songs, and then I do rock pop songs.
Do you produce your own music as well?
No, I have. I'm working with my amazing producer, Davey Nathan. Shout out to Davey Nathan. He's really the best.
Yeah.
And my art director is Kai Ahrens. Very, very wonderful.
Yeah. That's a good
always
look.
Blown away.
I like your vibe, because you're diversifying your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just this. Yeah. You're like, hey, I did this project. I'm doing an EP. I like that.
Yeah.
There's
EP. There's yeah. comedy coming out. There's so many things coming out. And at the end of the day, the premise of it all is, if you watch it, I hope you feel better and freer.
Nice. Now, this EP that's coming out, is it going to be, are there's going to be physical copies or just digital release?
See, I don't know. I don't know yet. I think it's gonna be. It's something to think about. I think it's gonna be digitals. We might even release it as NFTs.
Yeah.
So,
that's a good look. Yeah.
We're gonna do an NFT thing, and
I mean, look what Steve Aoki did. He,
oh shit.
He made like.
Crazy. Let me tell you. I need to move away from my roommates. Not there's any problem with them. Shout out to my roommates.
Oh, do you want to give them a shout out?
Shout out to Maz.
Are they comics?
And
comics?
Will. No.
Okay.
They're actors and directors. Shout out to Maz and Will. I love you guys. But yeah, hopefully this year, I want to have, before the pandemic, I would do these big dinners, and my house was filled with toys. Here, I show you. I have all these fucking things. This is my purse.
And I have this these. Oh, so this is a purse. This is interesting. I've never seen a purse like this.
Yeah, you open the head.
Yeah. Okay, so this is different. This is different.
Tampons. Yeah.
Okay.
Some condoms. At least I'm responsible, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey. So where could, so this is not a part of your, you just, where could someone buy a purse like this?
Follow me on the Instagram. It's going to be part of my merch. It's a bunch of silly things.
Oh, this is amazing.
If you ever want to buy something very silly, follow me on the Instagram.
Thank you. We'll do part 2, 3, 4. It was an honor having you. So did you have fun? Was that easy?
Stevie, this was the best. I feel like it was all about me and not about you at all.
But that's the whole point. That's why I have guests. I'm sick of talking about me.
Oh, okay.
I think about me a lot of the times, and I don't want to think about me most of the time. That's why I do this, so I can find out more about my guests.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, yeah, my life's not that interesting.
I hope I did okay.
You did great. Was that, I mean, the fart gun? I mean, it was, dude, it's going to be great.
Did you see my new shoes?
Okay, you want to floss those?
Look.
Okay, what
did
are...
That, They got tails on them.
And they're Adidas.
Oh, this is the, my Jeremy Scott.
Oh, wow.
The thing is, I found I have a weird passion for things that have tail on them that are not supposed to have a tail, like shoes.
Where could, would you get those at Fairfax?
No, this, I hunt them. I literally hunt them. This, I waited for this for 3 months.
That's a secret.
No, but follow me on the Instagram and I will tell you all about it.
Okay.
Shameless promotion. All right.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. If you want to support the platform, go to patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. There's also a website, stevieweebyshow.com. Make sure you follow Scissor Brothers at youtube.com/scissorbros. Those episodes drop every Friday. Go to stevieweebybandcamp.com for music, instagram.com/QUANGOU for my Instagram. Also, I do have a P.O. box. I have to check it again. If you want to send any mail or packages or anything, send all your packages to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Can you shout out your Instagram one more time?
Or mashed potatoes. O-R.
Spell it out.
Or mashed potatoes. O-R-M-A-S-H. Potatoes.
Okay, so you do that three times. I need to do that three times before I end, too. You do it three times? Three fart sounds. Okay, that's three. And then I have to do three. My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crib. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip was so full of angst. Him and Henry Woodward Peckers did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the West, you can. You're the best on the land to bless the sands. Do the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling stir crazy, maintaining it. Making me wanna get in a plane. The pain inside my brain never ends sustained. I'm down for the count on the ground freight train. Living today, don't give it away. The peace and the praise, the rays. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of frowns delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed. Live this way, can deal with shade. His spade is a spade, he made the gray. Displayed in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal, a male. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.